Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God which engages us this morning is a section of the text just read, specifically Joel 2, verse 25. I will restore for you all the years that the locusts have eaten. My attic might be a lot like many attics. It's full of a bunch of bent, broken, and busted stuff. My son Jonathan asked me to fix G.I. Joe's head when our dog Maverick chewed it off. After years, Joe is still headless. My daughter Abby asked me to fix her bookshelf 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember, but the shelf is still bookless. My other daughter asked me to fix her bike. You get the feeling by now that little Lori Beth Lessing is completely bikeless. My strategy? Maybe it's your strategy. Hide all the torn, tattered, and twisted stuff. Out of sight, out of mind. And after a few years, the family will be absolutely clueless. One slight problem, though. You can imagine that occasionally these Lessing children have the audacity to go up into the attic. And then I am reminded once again of my inability to be Mr. Fix-It Dad, and under their inquisition again, I am absolutely speechless. It's right there. I can almost see it next to the vacated Feuerhahn residence. 14 South Seminary Terrace is a living testimony in my life of my inability to fix what is broken. And wow, these four other Lessings anxiously await the grand opening of Reed's Restoration and Repair Shop. I believe that they are completely hopeless. The Old Testament prophet Joel had the same circumstances, didn't he? He was surrounded by this mess that he just couldn't fix. In fact, in chapter 1 of Joel, he describes this horrific and almost apocalyptic-like mess. Representative of chapter 1 is verse 12. The fig tree is dried up. The olive tree is withered. The pomegranate, the apple, and the palm tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. While my mess is brought upon by canines and kids, Joel's mess was brought upon by locusts. And just the mention of locusts in a place like this brings to mind Mr. Locust himself, John the Baptizer. Can you imagine eating locusts? One man in Bloomington, Minnesota did last year. He ate 30 of them. He ended up in the hospital. He had a rash all over his body. Systematicians would call that the theology of the cross. Exegetes would call that just plain dumb. Locusts are not our insect of choice, but they certainly were in the Old Testament. In fact, Hebrews were so mesmerized by these purveyors of powerful plagues that they coined nine different Hebrew words for our English word, locusts. Did you know, and maybe you don't, fun fact here, that 1 square mile of locust can contain about 120 million of these critters. In fact, eyewitnesses to a locust plague in 1899 said that there was a swarm of locusts, some 1,900 square miles, so huge that they were able to cross the Red Sea. And boy, howdy, do locusts love to eat. Why? Did you know that locusts can eat their own body weight each day? Just imagine eating your own body weight each day. On second thought, Don't imagine eating your own body weight each day. These locusts had chewed up, devoured, and eaten everything dear in Joel's life. In fact, dumbfounded, he asked, has anything like this ever happened in our day or in the days of our forefathers? The prophet laments, how the cattle moan. The herds mill about because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep are suffering. We know, to a person, this kind of devastation, and then some. Living in the age of the church, you and I are confronted with an enemy that not only devours fields and flocks, but chiefly wants our saving faith. You see, when John in the book of Revelation wants to get down and dirty and describe this enemy that kills and steals and destroys, what does he use? He uses the imagery of locusts. In chapter 9 of Revelation, he has this apocalyptic and horrific vision of locusts, but they're not ordinary locusts. They have teeth like lion's teeth. They have iron breastplates. They have stings and tails like scorpions. And the king of this army is the angel of the abyss, whose name, John says, in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, Apollyon. Both words mean destroyer. And later in Revelation 12 and then in chapter 20, John tells us who this destroyer is. He is the ancient serpent who is devil and Satan. And Satan wants to chew you up and spit you out. He is after everything in your life that is spiritually alive. His lies strip away baptismal promises, Eucharistic joy, and gospel power. His temptations lead us as a community to watch precious gifts get destroyed, like marital fidelity and moral responsibility and ecclesiastical civility. And these swarms get inside of us and they tempt us to whisper wicked words and lunge for lustful looks and go on in godless gossip. And the end result is a littered, chaotic mess inside that we try to hide from everyone so they're absolutely clueless. But all along, you and I have been eaten up and we are absolutely hopeless in the middle of this plague. God speaks, I will restore for you the years that the locusts have eaten. Veshalamti, right? It comes from the Hebrew word shalom. We all know that one. It means to repair, to restore, to fix, to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You see, Joel pins all of his hopes upon Yahweh's gift of shalom, and so did all of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah says, Yahweh pours out shalom to rebuild the city with salvation, its walls and ramparts. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet says, Yahweh cuts a covenant of shalom and dry bones come to life. And Aaron and his sons were commanded to bless the people with this promise straight from Yahweh's heart to his Israel. I will give you shalom. All of this points forward to the one Isaiah calls not only wonderful counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father, but climactically, Sar Shalom. The Samaritan woman, blind Bartimaeus, the centurion servant, Mary Magdalene, Lazarus, and countless others saw Shalom incarnate. That face, they heard that voice. They felt that touch and they experienced that love. Jesus' goal was singular, to restore the years and the lives that the locusts have eaten. And to do that, he was paraded on a road we call the Via Della Rosa to a dead-end trash heap called Golgotha. And there waiting for him were people who were professionally and systematically experts at breaking and bending and maiming and mauling. And then they intentionally threw people away. Also waiting for him at Golgotha was Abaddon and Apollyon. And this enemy stalked our Savior and took aim and shot straight and killed. We are still in this joyful Easter tide. And we shout to the world that this deceiver, oh, he was deceived. The devourer was devoured, and the destroyer will be destroyed. Isaiah says it first. Paul joins the chorus saying that this enemy has been swallowed up. And John says this enemy is going down into the lake of fire. On that first evening, the first day of the week, with the disciples together, with doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Salam lakem in Aramaic, Shalom lakem in Hebrew. Restoration and repair. Peace to you. And with that, he breathed upon them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Joel says as much. Afterward, he says, Yahweh will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And your young men and young women will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. This Spirit of Shalom is poured out in the baptismal flood, is celebrated with Simeon when we depart in Shalom. And this Spirit of Shalom enables you and me to dream dreams and to see visions and to sing songs of resurrection. In this place, at this time, this Sar Shalom enters my attic to take what is lifeless and hopeless and faithless and fix me with the Shalom that is fathomless, but on another day, in another place, all the years of the locusts will be completely restored. This entire littered mess will be transformed into a new heaven and a new earth. And there we will sing an Easter hallelujah that is deathless and absolutely endless. And armed with that faith, we go forth in courage with this battle cry. Look out, locusts. Here we come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.